Chapter 29, The Ninth Parable, Part 3. So, after 2 days, when we returned to the tower, he said to me,
"Let us examine all the stones and determine those that can go into the building."
"Yes, sir," I said. At first, we examined the black stones, and we found that they were the same as when they had been removed from the building. The shepherd gave orders that they be moved away from the tower and put at a distance. Then he examined those that were mildewed. Many of these he took and trimmed, and commanded the virgins to take and put them into the building. So they took them and put them into the building, into the center of the tower. But the rest, he ordered to be placed with the black stones, since they also turned out to be black. Next, he examined the stones with cracks. Many of these he trimmed, and gave orders that they be carried into the building by the virgins. But they were placed on the outside of the walls, because they turned out to be more sound than the others. But the rest, because of their excessive number of cracks, could not be trimmed. For this reason, they were cast away from the building of the tower. Next, he examined the stones that were chipped. Among them, many turned out to be black and had developed large cracks. Therefore, he also had these put aside with the rejected stones. With those left over, he cleaned and trimmed, and commanded to be put into the building. And the virgins took up these stones and fitted them into the center of the tower, for they were rather weak. His inspection next turned to the half-white, half-black stones, many of which were found to be black. And he gave orders that these also be taken out with the rejected stones. All the rest proved to be white and were taken up by the virgins, for, since they were white, they could be fitted into the building by the virgins themselves. Moreover, they were placed on the outside because they turned out to be sound and able to support those which were placed in the center, for none of them were completely chipped. Then he examined those that were hard and rough. A few of these were rejected because they could not be trimmed and turned out to be very hard. However, the rest were trimmed and taken up by the virgins to be put into the middle of the building of the tower, since they were rather weak. Then he examined the stones that had stains. Very few of them had been blackened and had to be rejected with the rest. The greater part were glistening and sound, and were fitted into the building by the virgins. Because of their strength, they were placed on the outside. Then he went to look at the white spherical stones, and said to me,
"What are we to do with these stones?"
"How am I to know, sir?" I said. He said,
"Do you not notice anything about them?"
"Sir, I am not familiar with this handicraft," I said. "I am not a stone cutter and cannot know."
"Do you not see that they are very round?"
he said.
"And if I should wish to square them, I shall have to lop off a great deal. However, some of them have to be put into the building."
I said, "Well, sir, if it must be, why do you torture yourself, instead of choosing those you want for the building and fitting them into it?" Then he chose the larger, brilliant ones from among these stones and trimmed them. And the virgins took them up and fitted them into the outside portions of the building. And the rest were taken up and put back upon the plain from where they had been carried. However, they were not rejected.
"Because,"
he said,
"there still remains yet a small part of the tower to be built. And the master of the tower is exceedingly anxious to have these stones fitted, because they are very brilliant."
12 women of most beautiful appearance were then called. They were dressed in black and wore girdles. Their shoulders were exposed and their hair was hanging loose. These women seemed to me to be savage. The shepherd gave orders to them to take up the stones rejected from the building and to carry them back to the mountains from where they had been taken. They picked up and cheerfully carried away all the stones and put them in the place from where they had been taken. After all the stones had been picked up and there was not a single one lying around the tower, the shepherd said to me,
"Let us walk around the tower to see whether there is any defect in it."
So I walked around with him. At the sight of the tower's beautiful structure, he was exceedingly cheerful. In fact, it was so beautifully constructed that I yearned for it when I saw it. It was built as if it were a single stone without any joint in it. The stone looked as if it had been hewn out of the rock, for it seemed to be of one piece. As I was walking with him, I was full of joy at this beautiful sight. The shepherd said to me,
"Go and bring unslaked lime and fine clay to fill up the marks left by the stones that were taken up and put into the building. Everything around the tower must be smooth."
I did as he told me and brought these to him. He said,
"Help me and the work will soon be finished."
Then he removed the traces of the stones that had gone into the building and gave orders to sweep around the tower and to make it clean. And the virgins took brooms and swept all the rubbish taken out of the tower, washed the site with water, and made it pleasant and most attractive. Then the shepherd said to me,
"Everything has been cleaned,"
he said.
"Whenever the Lord comes to inspect his tower, he will be unable to blame us in anything."
With these words, he wished to depart, but I took hold of him by his sack and began entreating him by the Lord to explain what he had shown me. He said to me,
"I am busy for a little while. Then I shall explain everything. Wait here until I return."
I said to him, "What shall I do here all by myself?"
"You will not be alone,"
he said,
"for these virgins will be with you."
"Put me in their care," I said. So the shepherd called them and said to them,
"I am entrusting this person to you until I return."
Then he left. So I stayed alone with the virgins, who were quite cheerful and well disposed to me, especially the four of superior dignity. The virgin said to me,
"The shepherd will not return today."
"Then what shall I do?" I said.
"Wait for him until tomorrow.
If he comes, he will speak with you. If he does not, stay with us here until he comes."
I said to them, "I shall wait for him until evening. But if he does not come, I shall go home and return early in the morning." They answered and said,
"You have been entrusted to us. You cannot leave us."
"Where shall I stay then?" I said.
"You will pass the night with us as a brother, not as a husband,"
they said.
"For you are our brother.
And in the time to come, we intend to stay with you, because we love you dearly."
However, I was ashamed to stay with them. Then the one who seemed to be the leader began to kiss and embrace me. And when the others saw her kiss and embrace me, they also began to kiss me and to chase me around the tower in play. At this, I also became like a young man and played with them. Some danced, some gavotted, others sang. I kept silent as I moved in their company around the tower, thrilled to be with them. When evening came, I wished to go home. However, They held on to me and did not let me go. So I stayed with them for the night and slept near the tower. The virgins spread their linen tunics on the ground and made me lie down in the midst of them. Yet, they did absolutely nothing else except pray. And without ceasing, I also prayed no less than they did. The virgins were glad to see me praying in this way. I remained there with them until the second hour of the following day. Then the shepherd came back and said to the virgins,
"Have you done him any wrong?"
"Ask him,"
they said. "Sir, I was delighted to stay with them," I said.
"What have you had for supper?"
"Sir, our supper all night was the words of the Lord," I said.
"Did they treat you well?"
he asked. "Yes, sir," I said.